the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's May 31st, 2019. Casey, you were just telling me about the movies that you have seen.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday, I had a big movie day. Took a little trip down to the AMC Burbank, and I saw The Biggest Little Farm. I saw Ma, and I saw Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
And you paid full price for all these
movies. I paid no price.
What?
I mean, I have AMC A-list.
This would be a great ad if we had been paid to push.
Yeah, AMC A-list, pay us to promote. I mean, I try to get people to sign up for that whenever, because it's I went to all three movies by myself, and I think I like was like asking people if they want to go to the movies, and everybody was like, no, I can't, it's a Thursday.
Yeah. What do you think of those?
Quick hits. I really liked The Biggest Little Farm. It's a really fun little documentary about a sustainable farm just north of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Ma was stupid fun. Nothing too crazy with Ma, and I give a thumbs down to Godzilla. I didn't find the monster action to be legible enough, and then
too dark,
too close. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then I hated every person who was in that fucking movie. Every single
in the
character.
Theater.
Oh no, the theater was fine.
By the way, we got open air today, so we got birds coming in.
Birds. It's a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day. I'm packing to go to Australia.
Yeah.
So I'm in. I stayed up till 7:30 in the morning.
Oh my god!
But I was
like,
I'm trying to get on their time zone.
That's crazy.
Trying to get on their level.
You should have come to the movies last night. I saw Godzilla at 11:30.
Oh, I could have.
But they were like basically sold out by the time I bought a ticket.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I bought a ticket at 9:30.
Huh.
And the movie was at 11:30.
I mean, was it a...
it was the first day it had been released, and it was IMAX.
Is there an element of like, the whole crowd's into it? Yeah.
I mean, if the whole crowd was into it, yes, there would have been an element of the whole crowd is into
it. But it didn't succeed in getting those moments
going. No, not
That's
really.
A shame.
Like John Wick had those moments
right.
for me. I
would argue that Godzilla 1 of this series had that moment.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I think that's my big thing.
So you totally lost.
I mean, it's not that I'm lost.
What is
I understand
thing?
What Godzilla is.
What is this?
I've seen other Godzilla movies.
Okay.
I know the idea of Godzilla, but...
You didn't connect to...
Apparently, the two main characters, the three main characters in this movie weren't even in the first Godzilla, and I had no idea. I was just like,
I think the only...
These guys again?
I think the only continuity is Kerry... Is his name Takawa or something like that? The Japanese guy?
Oh, was it...
the guy from Inception?
Yes, yeah. Okay, cool.
He's in that, right?
Yeah.
Because he's in the first one, he's the one that goes...
we're going to need a bigger boat.
No, he goes like, the foolishest of men.
Yeah.
Is he, and then he says something like, or... let them fight.
Yeah. Great.
So, thumbs down to that. So, meanwhile, it seems like we're going to have a fun series.
Yeah, in between my movie watching, I watched all of Game 1. And let me tell you, that was the blueprint of how the Raptors win this series.
Uh-huh.
Right? No Kevin Durant.
Yeah, that's a good blueprint for like a
great blueprint.
Guys, here's our game plan. Write it up on the whiteboard.
A poor shooting game from the Warriors.
Uh-huh.
And not letting them get close.
Yeah.
Right? They went up at halftime by 10, and it was basically 10 for the rest of the game.
Right.
And you know, you always feel like, oh, there's going to be one of those inevitable Warriors runs. But every single time that they tried to do that, Toronto was able to play good enough defense to get them to not create anything.
Right.
And we do have to acknowledge Pascal Siakam was insane.
I watched some highlights.
Right. And it's not even that he was insane in that, like, wow, he played really well. He played like Pascal Siakam. He just made a bunch of his shots and was defended very poorly.
Ah.
Right. They let him get whatever he wanted.
Ah.
I mean, he shot, what, 14 for 17, something like that? He missed three shots and he had 30-something points. It was insanity.
Right.
And they were all at the basket. I mean, the dude took a couple of threes, but it was Pascal Siakam making layups kind of a game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Warriors, they played sloppy on both ends, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of their offense was created from broken plays and offensive rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
They were not as sharp as I think I was expecting them to be coming off of a long layoff.
Yeah.
Which, saying it now, I'm like, why did I expect them to be sharp after a long
I was actually going to say, why did you expect them to be sharp?
Yeah, because they, you know, they always win game one.
Well, especially given their... Did they always win... Wait, did they win game one against the Clippers or did they lose?
They won game one against the Clippers. They lost game two.
Okay.
They always win game one because... I think in their current run, in their current iteration, they lost one game one out of all of them.
Ooh.
So.
Well, so, now, I mean, they will have to win. They have to win. You know, they've won a road game in like 22 series in a row.
Yeah.
And now they will definitely have to.
They have to if they want to win. Yeah.
I only saw highlights of this game. I was basically... exhausted and I just finished directing the show that's going to Sydney. However, I have questions for you.
Yes.
Is this repeatable?
Yes, this is repeatable. So when I say yes, this is repeatable, I do not mean that I think it's going to happen in the next game.
Right.
But it is repeatable, right? The Warriors are not nearly as deep as they should be, and they play their bench quite a bit in this game because they kind of had to.
Right.
They don't have an answer for Mark Gasol,
mm-hmm.
right? How ridiculous is that to say in this 2019, the year of our Lord, that you know, having an answer for Mark Gasol is important. But it is. It is important. And as well as Kevon Looney can play, I mean, he's a 25 minutes max kind of player.
Right.
You know, you're not going to be able to play him 30, 35 minutes.
You got like 8 minutes from Boogie.
And they were bad.
Yeah.
Boogie had one really good pass and then was bad the rest of the time. He played some stints at the beginning of the second and fourth quarter and then a little bit at the end of the second quarter, too, as well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just a rough night to try to get him back into playing, I guess, mindset
is
a big one because he's not going to be in playing shape by the end of the series. He's just not going to be there. So I think that if Biggie plays.
I mean, if we can, I would say if the Warriors can put out a lineup of Boogie, Biggie, and Big Pun,
yes,
then they would lose horribly.
And Baggy from Bagger Vance,
yes, if Bagger Vance come and give some advice.
I dog sit a dog named Biggie, so it gets in my head.
So. This is an interesting moment to think about this series because I think everyone can kind of examine, am I a person that sort of has a fundamental thought about the true matchup between these two teams, or is there an element of recency bias where we feel like, oh, Toronto's cracked it, they've done it, like all they need is a 30-point game from Siakam and... They didn't get a crazy game out of Kawhi.
No, Kawhi had a normal game of 25 points and a regular amount of rebounds, and assists, like 8 and 5.
You know, and good games from Lowry. What we've come to expect of Lowry.
Lowry had a good game.
Yeah.
He just didn't score a ton and he didn't shoot super well.
Right.
Marc Gasol had a great game.
Well, I guess I was asking about Boogie was because do you think Boogie will be able to get enough minutes to sort of be in there when Gasol is in there?
I mean, no, and he's not an answer for Mark Gasol. Like, mm-hmm. Boogie right now is not a player who should be playing.
Uh-huh.
And that is a bummer.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel good to say that about, you know, a guy we love, DeMarcus Cousins.
I will say the storyline that would really, like, the ideal Durant storyline, is he lets them get down 3-something, and like he lets them get down 3-0, and comes back and wins the series?
Yeah, if Durant is really trying to prove himself,
just manage the storyline, not giving, be the snake, and like go the hardest road and all that stuff.
Giving Toronto 3 games at the beginning of the series is 100% the way to do that.
That would be legendary.
However, I don't think that that's what's happening.
No, I think he's genuinely rehabbing.
I think he's genuinely rehabbing.
And also the huge risk of that is you let them go down 3-0, you come back,
you get re-injured,
and then you get swept.
Oh, yeah.
it's like, oh, you great, you came back, and then you lost.
Yes.
If you were a Warriors fan, would you be worried?
No, it's one game. It's a road game.
Yeah,
I'm not worried. that was an outcome that definitely was in the cards for last night.
Mm-hmm.
If they lose game two, similarly, or in a blowout, then yes, I'm very worried.
If they lose game two, then they get to say we just took care of business. They took care of business. Now all we got to do, which doesn't actually make sense in this context, because it's like, all we got to do is go home and take care of business. All we got to do is all the home teams win their games, and then we lose. Oops.
Now, then you got a shot in game seven, right? Every team's got a shot in game seven.
Yeah.
If every team wins their home games up towards game seven.
And as we all know, the game sevens are played on a neutral court.
Every NBA finals game seven has been played in the Phantom Zone.
Yes. General Zod, that crew in Superman 2,
yeah,
they're the officials.
Yes. It's actually the Upside Down from the Stranger Things.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Bobby Brown, shout out in Godzilla.
That must be what it felt like for James Harden when he wasn't getting those calls.
Hey!
The thought I was having while watching highlights and looking at some of the numbers for this game is... To what degree are the Warriors one of the factors in their run, in this 5-year run, is they seem to be very good at in-series adjustments and mentality. And first of all, they're probably not rattled at all by losing this game one.
No, I don't think they're rattled.
And if you're saying that Siakam was not defended well, the Warriors, out of all the teams, I would say, is a very good team at scheming defensively for, you know, specific purposes.
Yeah, and the only problem is that for other teams that might have been a puzzle that you can solve,
uh-huh.
Maybe with the Raptors, it's not a puzzle that you can solve. It's just a gamble you got to take, right? Uh-huh. Because they did their best to lock down Kawhi,
uh-huh.
Right? Instead of having Kawhi score his customary 35, he scored 24 and
right.
didn't have a great offensive game.
Right.
If you have a game plan where you shut down Kawhi and you let other people create, that could be what happens.
Yeah.
There's a decent chance that this is what they have to gamble with. Like, who do they let have a good game? Because you can't cover everything.
Yeah.
Right? It's just a truth in the modern NBA.
Now, the Raptors have a high, pretty, like, if we're comparing variants of like the Raptors 2 through 6 players and the Warriors offense, the Raptors have had in this playoffs a lot more games of like, wait, who got 25 points?
Yeah.
Which I guess what I'm saying is I would be surprised and pleased if Siakam had a series like this.
Yeah.
But it's also somewhat likely that he, you know, comes back to earth.
Yeah.
And that it isn't necessarily, or that they scheme for him and maybe they keep Kawhi to 30 and then it's sort of up to, can Lowry pull out a game or,
yeah,
you know, I feel like the Raptors have had more like, questions about where the second and third 40 ish points come from after Kawhi.
Yeah.
So how did you feel about Curry and Thompson?
I thought Curry had a okay game and Thompson had a okay to bad game.
Yeah.
And I feel like Klay on the offensive end did I don't know about disappearing, but he was not as present in the second half as he was in the first half.
Uh-huh.
And I think the interesting thing here is that if they had a better game, it would have been close, but I don't think they would have won.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me is the tough part. It's like, okay, what is going on with the two of them together? Because I think another guy who had kind of a bad game was Draymond.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond with the first 10-10-10 triple-double in playoff history.
Mm.
I don't think that he keyed that defense in a way that was successful. And so what I mean to say here is that it felt like he was trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. People were still scoring on him anyways. And well, I don't know what you can take away from that other than, you know, because he can't really try harder. Yeah, he tried as much as he could, and he did the things that he thought were going to work. But there were a lot of times when he had hands up and he was in guys' faces. You know how the Warriors will have those defensive possessions where they cover one guy and then they switch and they double and then they try to pass to find the open guy, but there's always somebody who's crawling back and running to get somewhere.
Right, right.
I feel like Draymond was everywhere on defense in this game. But he just didn't succeed at stopping people from scoring as much as I think he normally does.
Right.
And that, I mean, that just happens. That's basketball. And so I don't know if Draymond can look at this and say, okay, I failed this game,
right,
like by my preparation and by my planning. But I think you can kind of say that he failed in the execution of it, which like is so interesting to say, because he didn't have a great game, but he did have a game. I don't know. I'm interested to see what other people think about.
Well,
this.
Also the that Draymond might have. I mean, there's all, what you're saying, like that's basketball. It's just there's times where you're going to cover people to the best of your ability, and they go 14 for 17.
Yeah. And I am not saying that Siakam was covered to the best of everyone's ability.
Yes.
But it never felt to me like Draymond was actively playing poorly on defense.
Uh-huh.
Mostly that he was just beaten.
Right.
And that happens sometimes.
Right. So I guess, do you think that the Siakam field goal percentage can be game planned? Just in and of itself, that element can be game planned for.
Yes. Pascal Siakam has shown in the past that he is somebody who will be a little less assertive with his shot selection.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pressure him when he has the ball and don't allow him to get deep post touches, which
right.
is kind of a lot of his offense this game,
right.
you can absolutely force him to give that ball up because he does not have the confidence in his abilities to make it happen.
Yeah.
So if you make him shoot from outside or you make him give the ball up, other people take those shots and it's a better outcome for the Warriors.
Yeah. I with Siakam, there's a not insignificant chance that you can hold him to less than 15 points.
Yeah.
That's happened like 5 or 6 times in the playoffs so
absolutely.
Far.
Absolutely.
And
I mean, there were parts in the last series against the Bucks where it felt like Siakam was disappearing from the court.
Yeah. The he has a pretty wide variance of shot volume. It's weird how there's games in, let's see, game 2 against the Sixers, he shot 25 times. And then in game 5 versus the Bucks, he shot 6 times.
Wow.
It's very, like, I bet Kawhi is a lot more consistent in terms of just how many shots he gets up
yeah.
in games.
Yeah.
So does this change your prediction about the Warriors at all?
I mean, my prediction was Warriors in 5.
Yeah.
Well, I think that they're going to make 4 straight wins. So
gentlemen,
I guess
sweep.
My prediction, if I was allowed to change it, I would say Warriors in 6 now.
Uh-huh. You're not allowed.
Okay, I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed. I'm not going to do it. I am not going to say officially.
But would you want to say 5.5?
Yeah, okay, that's fine. I'll take 5.5.
Because in the first half of the 6th game, they just be like, okay,
forfeit.
Got it.
Yep.
Yep.
Let's celebrate in the last game ever at Oracle Arena.
If Toronto lost 3.5 games in a row or something, like I could see them just being like, all right, we had our one shot. Now this could just play out like Sixers Lakers, Iverson Kobe back in the day.
Yeah.
You steal one at the beginning and then
you're cut off.
Yeah. Although I think the Sixers they stole
game one
in,
at home.
In LA.
At the Staples Center.
Is this the first time the Warriors have been a road team in the finals in
yes.
this run?
Yes.
I would almost think that it's I'll say there's a good side. There's a silver lining to this, which is like it makes sense that a team would not be sharp because they finished their last series so early.
Yeah.
So in a way it's kind of nice to it's kind of a nightmare to play the Warriors 2 games at home and be like, we got to win these 2 home games. Like, we can't let them pick one off.
Yeah.
Because the whole, like, we need every home game that we can get because we, like, it's going to be hard to take one in Oracle.
Yeah.
And now I don't know how the crowd at Oracle has been, but they know these are the last games at Oracle.
Yes. So they won't want to lose any of them.
Yeah.
For sure. I think the interesting thing to me is the Warriors have not been as good at home this year as they have in past years. So they're not indestructible at home.
The playoffs they have been, I think.
I mean, they were 1-2 in the first round.
Right.
And they lost the one game away in the second round.
Right, and then they didn't lose anything in third. But
sorry, they lost two games away in the second round.
Okay. Regular season, they have not been super strong at home.
No.
But you know what? Those dot-comers can handle it.
Hey, I say yay.
I mean, there's so many great storylines if the Raptors win this series. Kawhi going to a different team, winning the championship.
Yeah.
But more
Fred VanVleet.
Yeah.
Getting into the league undrafted from Wichita State and become a key cog on an NBA Finals team.
Being inspired by the Rule of Threes podcast
yes.
to improve his game.
Yes.
Kyle Lowry not giving a shit.
No
matter what
given.
The Rule of Threes podcast says.
And he's never showing up to practice again if he's got a ring. That's just the rule of Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
He's just not going to be. He might retire. He's not going to retire.
If they win, I would say Kawhi, I feel like you have to stay.
Kawhi can do whatever he wants.
I know
man.
That you can do whatever you want, but I feel like it's a real weird thing to go and win a championship and then leave.
So, but Durant can leave?
If they win?
Yeah.
Well, because he's one. It's weird. To me, it's weird to go be like an assassin. I mean, it's very cool to go and be like, oh, you guys won a championship? Here you go. I'm out.
What if he just doesn't want to live in fucking Toronto?
Oh, I agree. I mean, it's cold.
And by
there.
Fucking Toronto, I mean lovely Toronto. Toronto's
yeah,
a
but great
it's place. Cold. It is cold, but even then, you know, you're playing basketball. You're warm at night because you're working out.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind in Montreal. I'd like to live in Montreal.
Montreal.
Not Toronto. But the biggest storyline of all
is that the Rockets are blowing it up.
Oh, are they? Actually, I missed that.
Sorry, the biggest storyline of all in the NBA Finals
is that Patrick McCaw...
PMC
could
got
be a
some three, run.
Get a three-time rings.
Yeah, no matter what happens in the finals this year, there's a three-time in a row NBA champion in
yeah,
the league.
Exactly.
As long as McCaw gets to play in the league next year.
wasn't he on two Golden State teams?
Yeah, so if Toronto wins, then McCaw is a three-time
yeah, yeah,
in a row
exactly,
champion.
Yeah, yeah.
If Golden State wins, then all the people who have been there for
three years. If Patrick McCaw wins, he will be the reigning best player in the league.
That is just how it works. He's got
the most
consecutive rings.
Yeah. Did he even get in this game?
He did, and it was wild. People were like, what is going on? Why is he playing?
Right. Well,
yeah, the bench usage in this game was... interesting, to say the least.
Uh-huh.
It felt like the benches were deep. And I don't know why in game one they were like, oh, yeah, we're just going to get our benches out there. We're going to play major bench time. It's bench city.
Mm-hmm.
That it seems so weird for, you know, after having been in the conference finals playing your guys 40 minutes a game to have like, it's bench time. It's time for bench.
Well, also because you've had, at least the Warriors have had like, they both had time off.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're coming out of a grind and like, they're all exhausted. They have to run the bench.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of this is there like a feeling out process of just like seeing, you know, how many times do they see the Raptors during the year? Twice?
Yes, twice. And these teams are different.
Because
Marc Gasol was traded
after
both of the games were over. I believe that a lot of the Warriors stars didn't play in one of the games.
Right.
It's a hard thing to...
And also, because of the Toronto Raptors game plan,
yeah.
One of the major stars for the Warriors is not playing.
Yeah.
So another thing that this very little talked about is that in the NBA, you can request a team player from the other team not play.
It's like banning rules in MOBAs.
Yes.
You can just be like, we want no Kevin Durant this time.
Durant was banned before the draft.
Yes.
And apparently teams throughout the playoffs have been banning Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, it's wild. I would have picked Jody Meeks, but, you know, that's just how it works.
Yeah. I mean, Jody Meeks more like a support player.
Yeah.
He buys your wards and your consumables.
Yeah. And as long as they're getting that cash flow and not feeding the other team... And the only person who feeds the other team on the Raptors is Serge Ibaka because he's got a cooking show.
But
at least he feeds them a lot of gross
stuff. And
Draymond
Green feeds the other team in that he had six turnovers.
Hey! Opa!
You know, I did from a Warriors, I almost said compadre. I don't know what that means. A friend of mine who likes the Warriors a lot. I did hear a little bit of lamenting turnovers.
Turnovers were tough. Turnovers and fast break defense were awful for the old Warriors this year.
Yeah.
And by this year, I mean this one game.
Yeah, that's the other thing is that The whole year we've been talking about, someone drilled something on the other side of the driveway. The whole year we've been talking about the Warriors and how long they can wait on the clock until they start playing for real.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like this game was we're taking it casually, but the turnovers are often a sign of like, to what degree are we like fucking around in this game, and to what degree are we like trying to play with precision?
Yeah. When they try to play with precision, when everybody's all healthy, their turnovers are always a problem.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Even the best case Warriors.
Steph
throws the ball behind his back out of bounds and that kind of stuff.
Yes. So I'm not as worried about it, but Steve Kerr talked about the transition defense after the game, and he said that that was the big thing he was worried about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really tough to disagree with him because they, you know, they lost the game by 10 and they gave up 25 points in transition when I think they probably would have preferred to give up 15.
Right.
You know? And if you lose by 9 and you give up 10 more points than you want to, well, in your own mind, you're like, oh, we could have won that game.
Yeah.
And, you know, you never want to give a game away. It never really felt like they were giving this game away. It felt like they got beat.
Right.
And that'll happen. That happens.
Yeah.
I really think on Sunday they're going to come back and
try to whoop them.
Play out of their mind. You know, I mean, it'll be very funny after they've been swept out of the playoffs. And I'm like, yeah, game five, they're going to come back. They're going to play with some passion this time.
Well, the Warriors of all teams have earned the right to, like, basically you can't ever count them out until they're literally out 4-0 or yeah. four games to whatever.
Yes.
Because they have shown, and I think we've talked about the mental fatigue of trying to do this so many times, that they do currently still have a switch that can be turned on. Also, when the switch is not turned on, they look as bad as any team in the league sometimes. Like, there are times where, like, you're like, what are they doing? And I think a tough part about the Warriors is that a lot of their success is overlaps with the joy of playing carefree.
Yeah.
Which can go wrong real bad.
If you were the Warriors, what would it take to turn on your switch?
You mean in like today?
No, as in like in the future.
Because
for me...
Yeah,
let me. It's a new 2D side-scrolling Mario. It's probably like a 2D Zelda game as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like that would get me to turn on my Switch because I haven't turned on my Switch in a while.
I just packed up my Switch.
Hey,
so for me it would be Snipperclips.
I love Snipperclips. That's a fun game. Everybody, get out there and download Snipperclips. It's a good time.
I have 3 game consoles. And I don't turn on any of them very often. And I had them for different reasons. I had the Xbox because the Xbox was like the only like real Blu-ray 4K
yes,
player.
Yes, it's the cheapest Blu-ray 4K player that you can get that has functionality.
The PlayStation has...
Just regular Blu-rays doesn't play 4Ks.
Even
the PlayStation Pro does not play 4Ks.
And it's probably just a licensing issue, is my guess?
I think it was a power issue.
Oh, okay.
Like, it doesn't have enough oomph to get that process.
Then I ended up with a PlayStation, and I can't remember what game I got that for. I still have to play Metal Gear, and I actually still try those, what's it called? Beat Saber.
Yeah.
I still need to try that. When I get home, I'm going to try that.
Great.
And the Switch actually ends up being a very playable. We actually play our Switch fairly often.
Nice.
And also, it's a very fun, you're going somewhere for 5 days, put it on the hotel TV.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I did that.
Very good for that.
So fun.
Except for the fact that a system that's designed to be so sort of, not portable, but like it has little parts that come apart.
Yes.
Right? It doesn't have a way, you have to bring the dock.
Yes.
That's terrible.
Yeah, they have these like portable docks that you can get, but they look crappy.
You might as well bring the first one. And there was a portable dock that was bricking people's Switches.
Yeah.
So I mean, not that I...
And the docks are expensive. Those things are like, you got to pay $80 for another dock.
Yeah.
Because I would love to have a dock on my living room and in my...
This actually makes sense. And maybe I should have 2 docks.
That's the rub. If you got the cash, yes. But also, you know, if you never, like, you guys have 1 TV in the house, so like, there's no point in having a second.
Well, what I mean is I hate taking the Switch out from behind the TV. And also, I really hate that because the Switch itself is designed to just be like, dink.
Yep.
So I really wish that there was just a single cable dock or something like that. But now I'm thinking about, like, maybe I'll get another dock and just keep it in my suitcase.
What you should do, what would make it easier, is if you had a USB-C hub that you plugged in for when the power goes, so that you could keep that hub plugged in, and all it is to plug it into the TV is just one cable, and you take that out. That's your midway solution to that.
That's not a bad idea. You know what? We should get these tips to the Warriors.
Yes, and then then they will turn their Switch on.
I don't even know if there is an NBA. Is there an NBA 2K for the Switch?
Yes, there is. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you can get all the 2Ks for the Switch.
Most games that I'm like, I theoretically care about the graphic performance, I tend to get for the PlayStation, I think.
Yeah.
Or the Xbox.
Because you don't have an Xbox One X. You have an S.
I do have an X.
You have an X?
Yes.
Oh, shit, dude. You should, apparently you should get them for the Xbox One X.
Red Dead I bought for the X.
Nice.
But yeah, sports games. But now think about it. If I had NBA 2K for the Switch, I could be playing that on my 15-hour flight to Sydney.
Yeah.
Which will definitely kill the battery on my Switch.
And you can plug it in.
No, I can't.
You can't? No. All right. He can't plug it in. Solid. You heard it here, folks.
Actually, you know what? Maybe I'll go onto the store and buy NBA 2K before I leave.
Yeah. You know, I mean, maybe you should just go to a store and buy it, because it's probably $20 somewhere right now.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing about those digital ones. It's always like
often very still expensive. Full price. Yeah.
I don't have anything else to say. I didn't see enough of this game to have coherent thoughts.
Okay, so let's.
I apologize for shirking my podcast responsibilities to the listeners, but you know it would have been just a bunch of bullshit about Kyle Lowry anyway.
Yeah. Let's let's see. I want to hear what you think about the new Houston Rockets news. Word on the street is everybody on the team is up for trade.
Okay.
Except for James Harden, who is also not up for trade, but is not up for trade.
Of course. Yeah.
And then they're jerking Mike D'Antoni about his contract, because he's got 1 year left. And they're like, they broke off extension talks. They were lowballing him. Apparently, they're trying to get him to quit.
Whoa.
So,
Well, they fired or encouraged to retire Jeff Bezdelic.
Yes.
And then they fired James Harden's trainer.
Yes.
That was a couple days ago.
Yep.
And I was, you know, spying on Rockets subreddits, and that was not received super well.
Yeah.
Because it's like, why are you hiring, like, our best players, sort of like locker room buddy?
Yeah.
I don't see how that would be a good sign.
Probably not.
Yeah, I'm just I didn't hear about this D'Antoni thing. He has ended talks with management about a contract extension.
Oh yes, yeah, it is. He is done for.
So he's currently a lame duck coach.
He is lame ducking it.
Yeah,
and he's got a bonus situation that they are being weird about. Apparently, he gets a big bonus if he makes the second round of the playoffs next year. But if the team makes it after he's fired, he doesn't get that bonus. Because they may fire him midseason, even if they're doing a good job.
Oh, I see. But it's not like if the for a second, I thought you meant that the next year, if the team gets to the second round, then they'll be like, see, you sucked. The team was good. Take back the money.
Take it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What are you feeling about this?
I don't know. I think D'Antoni's a good coach. I like Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah.
And I would not be happy if I was a fan of the Houston Rockets and they were treating him like that.
I think that D'Antoni is a good coach. But I think a lot of what the feeling of like, oh, I'd be mad if he left, is also comes from when you look at the rest of the field.
Yeah.
He's a good coach. He's a better coach than the majority of coaches.
I don't know. You know, Ty Lue is still out there. He's a coach.
Ty Lue. As Lakers Schadenfreude, I think the most enjoyable outcome would be if D'Antoni leaves and they get Ty Lue.
It'd be pretty funny.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Now, I see that they're also shopping Chris Paul as a trade target.
They're shopping Chris Paul. They're shopping...
Now, who on earth would trade for Chris Paul?
The rumor on the street is the team that is interested...
Oh, no.
...is the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, his contract is huge.
Please do not trade for Chris Paul.
But
oh, my God. That's good. This is like a nightmare scenario.
I know. You are. You have just...
Okay, I just outlined the nightmare scenario for the Rockets, which is to get Ty Lue as their coach.
Yeah.
The nightmare scenario for Chris Grace is that next year's Lakers are Chris Paul and LeBron James.
And a bunch of the... and they keep Kyle Kuzma.
Chris Paul, LeBron James, Kyle Kuzma, and they trade away Ingram, Hart, and Lonzo. And then they like, okay. The only saving element to that would be if they traded for Chris Paul and then re-signed Rajon Rondo as his backup and made them like play together on the court.
That would be so fucking funny.
Yeah. I mean, okay. In terms of having fun talking about the Lakers, if the starting lineup was, and I know this doesn't make any basketball sense.
Yeah.
Chris Paul, Rajon Rondo, LeBron James, Lance Stevenson, and Michael Olowokandi.
I'm in. That's my favorite team.
We'd have a lot to talk about next year.
We would have a lot to talk about, and the Lakers would go 27-52.
Yeah.
And I'd be so sad.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Please, please, to the basketball gods, do not let the Lakers trade for Chris. Not only because, I mean, honestly, he'd probably be okay for a year.
Yeah.
To add to the team.
And then there's two more years of Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Yikes.
See, the thing is, I can see them being like, well, he'll get us to... LeBron James and Chris Paul on your team, you should make the playoffs.
Yeah.
It would be very not good if you didn't make the playoffs.
But also next year is going to be 2020.
Yes.
And Father Time is creeping up on both of those.
Father Time is undefeated.
Yes. Other local Los Angeles basketball news.
Oh.
Zaire Wade and Bronny James are teaming up at a high school in Chatsworth to play high school basketball. So if you want to go wait for 3 hours to get into a high school basketball game next year, you're going to have the opportunity to do that.
Doesn't LeBron James live in Brentwood or something?
There's something ridiculous about that. I don't know why. Maybe it's like, easy to go up.
Am
the
I
hill
wrong
in the
that
morning.
Brentwood to Chatsworth is not a short commute?
No, I mean, it's just up the 405, right?
Yeah, but like
it's over the hill and like it's like 15 miles. It's not. And then I guess you do have to go all the way to Chatsworth, which is like at the other quadrant of that part of the valley.
You know what I would do if I was Bronny? Ask for my own apartment.
That's a good point.
Like across the street from Chatsworth.
Here's the thing, though.
My own helicopter.
I think they like being a family. I mean, just from like watching them on Instagram. Maybe that's all for Instagram, but they like seem super happy. Everybody in that seems very happy in that family.
You know, as sort of cynical,
I'm just taking this
I am,
off of Taco Tuesday, my favorite Instagram thing they do.
Uh huh.
Have you seen that?
Yes. We've talked about it here.
Love it.
I think that as cynical as I am about LeBron. A lot of times I do think a lot of his things, in fact, a lot of his relationship to social media is like the prototype for Durant. Like it's the gentler version of what Durant is, where everyone views everything he does with cynicism and calculatedness. Most of LeBron, the ones I believe about LeBron the most, the ones that I am not like, I don't question at all, are the ones where he's corny.
Yeah.
You know, like those seem genuinely like, he's turning into like goofy dad.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I think that those are those seem uncalculated to me.
Yeah.
You know, him whooping a kid in a 3-point contest after one of Bronny's games.
Yes.
Or halftime or whatever.
Right. I love it.
So when's our next game? Sunday?
Our next game is Sunday. Sunday at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Or are we in daylight time? I don't know. Okay. It's in 5.
5 o'clock?
Yes.
I have no idea what time that will be in Australia. Let's see. 5 o'clock Eastern.
It's going to be Monday at noon, I think, for you.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock Pacific. 8 o'clock Eastern.
7 a.m. Monday.
7 a.m. Monday.
Why is that the thing? I don't know. That's what this says. Well, let's see if I can see it.
Yeah.
Sure. I'll give it. You know what? There's actually a non-zero chance that I will be awake at 7 a.m. in Australia.
Yeah.
Wide awake, 100% energy.
It's 10 a.m. You did Eastern time, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's 10 a.m. Saturday.
Okay, cool.
Sorry, 10 a.m. Monday. My bad.
There's a very good chance that I will be, like, unable to sleep at that hour.
Yeah.
And we'll watch the game. And actually, this will be interesting. I'm directing the show that we're taking there. My husband Eric is in the show.
Yeah.
We're both being given lodging by the Sydney Opera House.
Uh-huh.
No one ever informed them that we are married.
Oh.
So we are currently on the books to be getting 2 hotel rooms.
Oh.
So we're probably going to see if they can be like right next to each other.
Yeah.
I mean, we could also like we could ditch one if we wanted to, but we were kind of like, well, you know, why not? And so I might have my own hotel room to watch basketball.
Oh, I see.
So if anyone's in Sydney, hit me up.
Hit you up.
Come by and watch the game.
B-ball.
Come by at whatever time in the morning and watch the game.
Hell yes.
Do you have comedy shows coming up?
I do. Got a Logan Everett show on Thursday. Basically, every Thursday at 8 p.m., I'm going to be hosting a comedy show at the Moving Arts Theater. I took on the second and fourth ones to do some music stuff, but I think we decided that it wasn't going to be a music space. I'm producing a new comedy show there, and I'm ironing the details out on.
Cool.
So I'm
awesome.
Real excited about that. And then, yeah, my big thing today is I'm going to the Sparks game tonight.
Hey!
In Sparks City. While you're boarding a plane, I'm going to be watching... just some amazing Sparks versus Sun basketball.
How are they doing this season?
Well, they're 0-1 so far. They got kind of whooped up on by the Las Vegas Aces in their opening game in Las Vegas.
But not unexpected given their lineup.
No. I mean, Liz Cambage was not playing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we were kind of expecting that game to be a little closer. But Candace Parker also was not playing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this season looks good for the Sparks with the Ogwumike sisters. Chine and Neka. So I am excited to see kind of what happens. And I think they're going to win this game tonight against the Sun because I don't think the Sun are very good.
How's your seat?
Seats are great. Got suite C6 for our seats.
Are those little like lit ones?
We're in the suites. We're in a suite.
Sweet.
Yeah. Not, you know, you can get into a suite. There are tickets right now. You can get into a suite
can
for
you
$9.
Can you order food at these?
You can order
food. Yes. I like this.
The food is 10 times as expensive as the tickets. If the food's ridiculous,
right.
Just go down and get your own.
The ticket's like a loss leader. They get you in there, get some food, get some drink.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I will say, just to loop it all the way back to the beginning of this conversation, that is the thing that is a little scary about something like the A-list.
Yeah.
Because I find it difficult to not get a popcorn and soda when I. Oh, you wait. You watched three movies yesterday.
I watched three movies yesterday.
What did you eat?
For the first one, I brought a bag of Goldfish.
Oh.
And a water bottle. For the second movie, I had just a water bottle.
Yeah.
And then for the third movie, I used some AMC rewards to pick up some Reese's Pieces, and I got a water
bottle. See, I know that people bring snacks in. It's a much smarter way to do it.
Yeah.
I have a hard time not having just the movie theater popcorn.
Yeah, I haven't had popcorn in, I haven't had at least a lot of popcorn in a number of years.
That is a smart choice.
Yeah. I like popcorn, but I feel like I have problems with, eating it and then eating too much of it and feeling sick. And I'm like,
oh, I know. Yeah. I mean, it's terrible for you. But that anyway, whenever I've gone on like Movie Pass and all that stuff, I end up spending like $12.
The popcorn's expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have any comedy shows coming up. I'm going to Sydney, Australia. I'm in tech all day this like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
We preview Wednesday night, open Thursday. 7:30 every night at the Sydney Opera House. Thrones, the musical parody.
Amazing.
It's Tuesday through Sunday. Mondays are off. Saturdays and Sundays, there's two shows every day.
Great.
I'm not really doing anything. I'm just the director. So once the show opens, I'm considering taking some surfing lessons.
Oh, my God. You'll have so much fun.
Because I don't know.
Have you ever surfed before?
I have not.
Oh, I am just the worst at it, but yeah. You're going to have so much fun.
Well, I figure Australia's probably a good place to learn.
Yeah.
And then if I am interested in it, certainly I can surf here.
Yeah.
Even though it seems to be freezing
out
here. Apparently it's cold there, but the water's not as cold as it is here.
Yeah.
Cool.
Great.
I'm excited. I feel like we've got the start of a good potential tough series.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, what all anybody wants.
Yes.
I mean, I know a lot of people want the Warriors to lose. That will make a lot of people happy. But at least we want something competitive.
We want something competitive. Great. Then, I guess we'll just... check back over the weekend, see how our internet connection is, and we'll get a podcast to you after game 2.
All right, bye.
Bye.